Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
Yes, it is. And my, such a busy day we have had today. All to the good and all headed into the weekend. Glad you are here. Mike Gallagher is an hour away. We have a lot of things yet to discuss this hour. Last hour, 1 hour ago, Matt Makowiak made news with us, our longtime friend, consultant, analyst, Travis County Republican chair, a heroic Republican chair in enemy territory there in Austin. And he gave us a vision of what he wants to bring to the party chairmanship. Let's just say it is in some ways at odds with the incumbent, the outgoing Matt Rinaldi, also a longtime friend of mine. So, battle of the Mats, we go to the mat, whatever cute usage you want to use. Matt Rinaldi's here as soon as we officially proclaim it's Friday.
Wow! I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
I feel good. I feel good. You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good. I would not. So good. So good. I got to hear.
See what I did there? Get it? Any excuse to roll out some Boston? It's a party, party, party. Oh, yes, it is. That it is. It is a Texas Republican Party. And that really means something. I think one of the, I think I was at a Joe Barton fundraiser, you know, a generation or so ago, and he shared just sort of the Alamo story. We all know the Alamo story, you know, sort of, kind of. But for the Alamo, there's no Battle of San Jacinto. But for the Battle of San Jacinto, there's really no Texas. Mexico kind of wins. And can you imagine an America that didn't have Texas in it? Not to get all the secessionists topped up, but I mean, let's just say that Texas, really important part of America. And if we lose Texas, and I don't mean not as a state, I mean not as a red state anymore, if we can't have that big, reliable passel of electoral votes, I don't know when we'll elect a Republican president ever again. So the entire country cares about the direction that Texas takes. We are a red state, but how red? And what's particularly going on this year? It is fascinating, and it's been energizing to see not just Republicans, but certain types of Republicans ascend to the cause. We saw it on March 5th on primary day. We're going to see more of it, I trust, when the runoff votes are counted 11 days from right now. Early voting is next week. And in the middle of all of this, next week in San Antonio is the Republican Party of Texas convention. The outgoing chairman, Matt Rinaldi, leaves a vacancy that some people are running for, and one of them is Matt Makowiak, our longtime friend, and he announced 1 hour ago. Matt, let's just say that somebody would not be running if they thought that somebody already running was perfect for the job. So Matt Makowiak obviously has some things to say about the people who he is now running against. He also had some things to say about the stewardship of the outgoing guy. So the outgoing guy is here, Matt Rinaldi. Welcome back to the program. How you doing, sir?
Great. How are you doing, Mark?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Are you kidding? I'm in talk show heaven. This is fascinating. It's all amazing. Before I get to some of the specific things that Matt M. had to say about you, Matt R., what's your thought going into this convention? Why is it important, and why aren't you running anymore?
Well, I'm not running because I accomplished what I wanted to do when I took the job, mm-hmm. which was win elections and make the party relevant and give the grassroots a voice. And that's exactly what we did. I mean, we had the best election since 2014 in 2022, won every statewide office by double digits, and we made the party more relevant than ever before, as we saw on March 5th and as we will see again on the 28th when we get rid of Dade Phelan as speaker.
And boy, right there, a stance that Matt Makowiak will not take ahead of time. I asked him, does this mean that as party chair, you would be Switzerland on Dade Phelan versus David Covey. And he essentially said yes, viewing the party chair role in a pretty traditional way. I mean, from state to state and county to county, this is the party chair role. It's to kind of stay out of it, let the voters say what they say, and once they do, we're all in, rowing in the same direction so Republicans can beat Democrats. And I know you're on board with that, but what is it that has brought your style to this where you said, you know what, I'm going to do a little more than that. I'm going to tell people, anybody willing to listen, the exact kind of Republicans who I think ought to be elevated.
Well, I mean, it is even that. It's the truth. I mean, you're speaking the truth. I mean, when we have legislative priorities, what chairs had done before us, when they died, is ignore it when Republicans killed them. We would protect the people who are acting against us. And instead of doing that, all we did this time was tell the truth. And it resulted in the best primary election for conservatives that we've ever had. I mean, we only really endorsed two candidates that are running in the primary election. The rest was just accurately portraying information to the grassroots through ads, through television, during sessions so that they were informed.
So you're going to the convention. Have you weighed in at all on who your successor should be? I mean, even before today with Mikowiak getting in, you got Abraham George, you've got Mike Garcia, Ben Armenta, Dana Myers. Do you care who wins?
Yeah, very much so. Abraham George is by and away the best candidate for conservatives to vote for. He's the only person who wants to keep the party doing what we did the past 3 years and 4 years to an extent with Alan West, which is win elections and have a real say in matters of policy. So we have Dana Myers, who is probably the main, I guess you can call it the Karl Rove TLR candidate that wants to take the party back to just being a cheerleading society for anyone who happens to put an R next to their name.
Yes.
She was running a very weak campaign, so I think they put in Matt Mikowiak to replace her in a hopes that they could take over the party, because I think on March 5th, they saw how high the stakes were. Matt's essentially running as the candidate to disempower the grassroots and to give them less of a voice. I think you heard it. And he's somebody, well, I mean, it's true. He's somebody who's well known as a big self promoter. I guess you could say he speaks loudly and he carries a small stick, but, cause he was chair of the Travis County Republican Party for several years.
Right.
We never had debt as a Republican Party of Texas. We raised millions of dollars, had a successful election. He was 9 months in debt on his rent payments up until 2 weeks ago when he paid it off so he could run for chair. But now he talks about raising money for RPT.
Well,
couldn't even do it with Travis.
No, he does. So let's have you address some of these, because I know ultimately it's not going to come. No, go ahead and finish your paragraph. Go ahead.
No, and the second thing he talks about is elected officials. He's going to be a uniter for Republican candidates.
Right.
He's best known for taking the only female Republican in Travis County. We have barely any Republicans in Travis County, Mackenzie Kelly on the city council. And he's best known for a phone call where he threatened and bullied her in a profanity-laced tirade. If he can even get along with a few Republicans in Travis County, he's going to get along with the Republicans statewide. What we've done is we've worked with our conservative elected officials, like Dan Patrick, like the Senate, in order to get policy pulled over the finish line. We've done it while raising money, while winning elections, and we're going to continue to do it under Abraham George.
I think most of the delegates are going to care more about sort of leadership vision and conservatism and winning more than some of the bookkeeping things. But you gave me some bookkeeping things in Matt's essay this morning. He has some in return. As of a week ago, Republican Party of Texas was $500,000 short of its minimum budget for the state convention. Needs a minimum of $1.5 million for victory. Capital V, the coordinated campaign to get out the vote. They've raised $200,000. The victory chair resigned this week in frustration. Your reply.
Yeah, that's just false, all of it.
What's false?
We've raised enough money to cover our convention. It was it's actually more than $1.5 million for convention when you count national convention. Mm-hmm. We've had an extremely successful fundraising at convention. We have never had the party in debt in 3 years that I've been with the party, which Matt can't say. I know it, by the way, because we're his landlord and he didn't pay us a rent for 9 months. And what was the other one? Oh, you're talking about Victor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alex Mueller just took a job with Metro Board and she ended up resigning. We're going to be choosing a new Victory chair soon. She resigned in frustration. We already raised by January as much money for Victory as we had the entire 2022 election. We raised over $1 million so far. He says 1.5 million is the goal. We hit $1 million by January.
All right, Matt Rinaldi is here. He has, how long have you been party chair? When did you ascend?
July 2021.
Gotcha. And it's been an interesting few years, and some interesting things have happened in those years. And those have been things that have delighted many conservatives. And winning is things that we're something we're obviously all particularly interested in. I don't want to make this entire thing about stuff Makoviak said about you, but you're all in for Abraham George. And I think that's going to come. I think it's going to be Matt and Mr. George. I think that's going to be it. It seems like the primary results seem to be pointing toward the kind of leadership you have brought, but that's just voters and talk show callers. I know a lot about that. What's the mood of the delegates? I mean, there are about 5,000-7,000 delegates are going to determine this next week. Is there a polling of them, and what's their mood likely to be?
The mood is that our delegates are conservative. They're frustrated with the uniparty in D.C. and in Austin. They're thrilled with what happened on March 5th. They're thrilled with an active party that wants to take a side in policy disputes and that wants to speak the truth to its members and give a voice to the grassroots. And they're on board with the direction that we've taken the party in the last 3 years. I think that Matt Makoviak and Dana Myers will be taking up the mantle of Karl Rove and TLR, who want to take the party back to being a cheerleading society for elected officials with an R next to their name that don't want to give a voice to the delegates and don't want a seat at the table. It's kind of the old trope of why don't you just win elections and raise money and shut up. Neither of them were good at raising money or winning elections.
I think Matt's won some elections. Come on. Come on, dude. but needless to say, the folks who have taken up your brand of cudgel have done particularly well, especially lately.
Yeah.
So look, since you'll do it and others may not be of a mind to do so while wearing the hat of party chair, let's take a quick walk as we wrap up the segment here. Matt Rinaldi, outgoing Texas GOP chair. Level of confidence a few days out that Dade Phelan is gone.
I'm about 65%. My only question in my mind, I know he's going to win Republicans by double digits.
Yep.
David Covey's going to win Republicans by double digits.
Yep.
The question is whether they pull over enough Democrats to save Dave.
And which leads us right to one of your major causes, and that is that this simply shouldn't be possible. Democrats involved. And by the way, I don't want Republicans mucking up Democrat races either. The primaries exist so that parties or the party faithful can determine who we want our standard bearers to be. What do we have to do to get to the point where we have where we don't have this silly open primary nonsense?
Well, we're going to deal with that at convention, that we are going to vote on a rule to close the primaries. And then we're going to defend that rule vigorously in court. Other closed primary states have become closed primary states, not necessarily through legislation, but because the party chose to pass a rule to assert their right of free association and the right to choose candidates in the manner that they see fit.
Why would it be challenged in court?
Well, they all were, and pretty much everything that makes a difference is challenged in court. So we are going to pass a rule. Hopefully the delegates will pass that rule, and then we will defend it in court, and hopefully we'll have closed primaries in the state of Texas very soon.
In the remaining battles, every race is different, but the folks who are sort of incumbents under fire, either for Paxton impeachment complicity or thwarting school choice or both, some of them only did one, are Stephanie Click, Dwayne Burns, Lynn Stuckey, Justin Holland, Frederick Frazier. That's five. You don't even have to pick which ones, but how many of them lose?
I probably would have said five of eight a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to say it is quite possible that 8 of 8 flip.
Really?
Yeah.
Real? Wow. Okay. Good. Meaning the passions of March 5th will live that. And by the way, of all those incumbents, they all have things they can point to highly recommend them. Conservative things they did. Dade Phelan has stuff he can point to that's good. But I guess this sounds like you saying, you know what? If the bar is set wherever it's set, give me somebody that didn't want Paxton's head on a plate and won't stand in Greg Abbott's way for school choice.
Well, I mean, also you support the Dade Phelan regime that tried to kill most of the things that they are saying was good that they passed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like the Cowboys defense, you know, taking credit for the other team scoring.
Ouch.
I mean, the voters see through that. They see through it in part because the party was communicating with them all during session. I mean, we spent $400,000, more than $400,000 during session, communicating with our voters as to what was going on in the legislature. And this wasn't candidate-specific stuff. It was stuff like, hey, this bill's dying in the House. You don't like trans and the kids? Well, why is that bill dying in Dave Phelan's house? It depends on what it was. And in the Paxton impeachment, we sent out 360,000 pieces of mail, letting them know what was going on. And we saw that effect in the primary election.
Do you have a thought on Brent Hagenboom versus Jace Yarbrough, Senate District 30?
No, I haven't weighed into that race.
Gotcha. Do you have a John O'Shea challenging Craig Goldman to be Kay Granger's successor?
No, I have towed the line on neutrality in congressional races, in the Senate races, because I do think, you know, at peacetime, the chair should remain, you know, fairly even-handed. Mm-hmm. The House was a special circumstance, and it was a special circumstance because of Dade Phelan, who is outwardly going to war with the party, who is teaming up with Democrats to hurt the Republican Party and what they believed. That's why I weighed in on those House races.
And
a special circumstance, and hopefully with a new speaker next session, we'll go back to normal.
Gotcha. And not to put words in your mouth, but if I'm boiling it down, it's neutrality from a party chair is something a party chair can do. But when there are Republicans whose goals are antithetical to conservatism and Republican success, silence is complicity.
Yeah, I think you need to set a high bar. But when that bar is hit, you need to show you're willing to stand up for your constituent.
Matt Rinaldi is state Republican Party chair for a few more days. Will you miss it?
Yeah, I will. I'll miss it a lot. And it's a great job. And I'll miss all the delegates and the people I work with.
All right. Well, we'll be talking no matter what, because how can I not? I always appreciate you. And thanks for your time, as always.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Matt Rinaldi. Matt Rinaldi TX on the Twitter there, 926. Is it possible for something else to wedge its way into the news? The answer is yes. All right. I've got so many thoughts. We talked to Matt Mikowiak, then we talked to Sheriff Wayborn. And then we talked to Matt Rinaldi. I've got 14 thoughts about that. Maybe you do too. 866-660-5759. So from the world of sports to the world of crime, so the PGA Championship is underway. Getting ready to watch some golf in addition to some stars tonight. Let's wrap it up, please. 9 o'clock on TNT at Colorado. Your Mavericks try to wrap it up against Oklahoma City. That's at home at the AAC. Get loud, get proud. That's at 7 o'clock tomorrow. But I'm going to watch some golf, too, the PGA Championship. Yeah, Scottie Scheffler might have some obstacles because he just got arrested there. Details next. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer, 933. Here's Nikki Whaley. All right. Are we ready for the weekend? I'd say I am. Come on now. Little mama from the Young Dubliners, don't you know? 866-660-5759. Speaking of accents across the pond, check my Twitter feed. I think last evening, it is a video of a girl who looks like she's about 10, and she is really chapped at what an ice cream cost at the ice cream guy. Two ice creams were going to cost the equivalent of about $11.50. I say the equivalent because the cost was made clear to her in quid. 9 quid, British pounds. And so she, in this magnificent working class Uplands Cockney brogue, for about 35 seconds, whipping out a bloody hell and various other things. She's like 10. She's just like my favorite kid. She's like, I bet he can hear me. She's just blasting. It's like Bidenomics across the pond. It's the world is not immune. So just one of the fun reasons to follow me on the Twitter there at Mark Davis. All right. So those of you who listen to the show, always grateful. And there are processes that kick in where I talk to a lot of people and we do a lot of things and a lot of things are on the fly. And then and only then am I able to exhale and tell you some of my thoughts about this. Two friends of mine, they're not running against each other because Matt Rinaldi is on his way out. Matt Makowiak wants to be on his way in. Matt Makowiak and Abraham George are almost certainly going to be the big names duking it out for the state party chairmanship. Makowiak's awesome. Smart guy. They don't come better than him in terms of analyzing things, consulting, and as he will tell you, he has won a goodly number of elections with people that he has backed. The approach there, I think, involves some observations he made in his whole treatise and his essay, His Reason for Running, is also on my Twitter, at Mark Davis. I reposted it from his, because my name's easier to spell than his. Kidding. Although it's true. So the Matt style of leadership, I don't want to, and it's kind of funny. Mr. George, as Matt Rinaldi did, or they're going to go after Matt M, as a kind of an insufficient conservative wrapped in the petticoats of Karl Rove, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's less than fair. There is no lack of energy in Matt Makowiak for the desire to have Trump win, the desire to have Ted Cruz win and not, you know, sweat bullets like we all did 6 years ago versus that clown Beto O'Rourke. Nobody wants to do that versus Colin Allred. And there's no reason to do that versus Colin Allred. What I hear from Matt Makowiak is a more welcoming, let's all be Republicans kind of thing, and let's unite to give Trump his biggest margin and give Ted Cruz his biggest margin, which is great. And Matt Makowiak also said today that the current leadership, which is total shot across the bow of Matt Rinaldi, is more interested in winning primaries than they are in winning general elections. And I asked him, what does that mean? Because silly me, I consider them to be one and the same. I want to do both. I want to win primaries with just the right kind of people and then win generals with those people. I think maybe the observation that some might make, and they're not wrong, is that sometimes, I mean, you know, the old William F. Buckley, then there should be a uniting force invoking William F. Buckley, always back the most conservative guy who can win. The most conservative guy who can win. Most conservative guy may not always be able to be the guy who can win. We'd like to think so. But as I've said, not every district gives you Louie Gohmert. Not every state gives you Ted Cruz. So there's no numerical measure of that. It's kind of a gut thing that we have. So I think Matt Makowiak's point has logical merit. The Matt Rinaldi point is, doggone it, man, let's find these MAGA grassroots conservatives and let's back them and go offer them up and make people like it. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't have the occasional flawed candidate. We've had a few, probably got a couple now. But I will tell you that Matt backs Mr. George, the Collin County chair. Matt called Abraham George completely unacceptable as county chair. I think some of that is more personal than philosophical. We'll see how all that rolls out. What is the job of a party chair? It's one of two things. It's either be the umpire, call balls and strikes, make sure that we all, you know, that to respect the voters, whatever that even means. And then once you have primary victories, all in for those Republicans. That's great. the Matt Rinaldi approach has been, we have Republicans in Texas who are a problem, and we need to get rid of them. I think Matt Rinaldi is right about that. And I have zero quarrel with his expressed desire to get rid of Dade Phelan. I don't disrespect the voters of Texas 21 if they return him to office. I mean, I got to respect what they ultimately say. But ahead of time, is it okay for a Republican Party chair to say Republicans are better if we get rid of that? The Republican fates are better. Conservative agenda items will have a better fate if we get rid of some of the squishes and the moderates and the malcontents and the swamp rats. Yeah. So seems like that's probably what Mr. George will do. Is that going to be a problematic candidacy moving forward? It all happens next week. So here we are, and we will all see. We'll all see what happens in this Trump trial, won't we? Guys, an entire day where I hadn't said a word about the Trump trial. How'd that? Well, just in under the wire. I'm not even going to bore you with a couple of thoughts from me. Hannity welcomed Levin. I'm just 60 seconds of this is great. Sean asked Mark, if what would your closing arguments be?
Well, you don't want to hear my closing argument because I'd be held in contempt. But instead, what I'd like to do, if that's all right, Sean, is give you my opening argument on why Alvin Bragg should be disbarred, why he should be facing charges for suborning perjury.
Stop. I committed my own sin. This just takes 30 seconds. Scottie Scheffler got arrested at the PGA Championship. He apparently tried to drive around an accident, like a fatal accident. That's bad. He was arrested and charged with assault on a police officer. He's the number one golfer in the world. He's the Masters champion. Charged with a felony and other counts early this morning outside the PGA Championship in Louisville. He was charged with felony, second-degree assault on a cop, lesser charges of third-degree criminal mischief, reckless driving, disregarding signals. He's been released from jail. Returned to the Valhalla golf course for the second round. And the crowd gave Scheffler a rousing applause when he struck his tee shot shortly after 10 a.m. So that was the guy who got, Scottie Scheffler went nuts in some traffic situation there in that. There you go. Levin.
I've talked about on my radio show for the last 3 days, and also why he's in violation of the Brady Act. We have very smart lawyers, some fairly smart lawyers, who are talking about this case. They're all saying the same thing in a different way because the case is so outrageous, we're running out of words and explanations for it. None of us have ever seen anything like this. You have collateral evidence, which is unconstitutional. You have somebody being charged, and he's not sure what he's charged with, which is unconstitutional. You have all kinds of allegations being made, which are absolutely outrageous and not relevant. You have a dead state statute that remains dead today that's being used. You have a federal campaign law, and nobody knows exactly what part of the federal campaign law we're talking about. And so I want to talk about Alvin Bragg rather than keep talking about the same thing. There's a Supreme Court case called Brady versus Maryland. And the Supreme Court ruled, and I'll keep it tight, that the government, the prosecutor, must not withhold exculpatory evidence, must be given to the defense. And in fact, if they know that evidence is false or might be false, they're not supposed to use it.
These are just, if find it online, Levin on Hannity last night. Alvin Bragg is a joke. He is a mockery. And it is possible, and I held out hope for this, and, you know, we'll see if those hopes are realized when the jury actually starts ruling, which could be sooner rather than later. This thing may not last, you know, even till Memorial Day. May not last much beyond next week. That even this jury, even a Manhattan jury, might just acquit Donald Trump. Dare we dream? All righty. Got a couple of final words for you and an exit tune into the weekend next. I had no real awareness of the Lainey Wilson country career. She was Abby on Yellowstone. I was like, what? She's a real singer? Yep. She won Entertainer of the Year at the ACMs. held at the Star, the Cowboys facility in Frisco. The snarky joke last night was, it's nice to see actual significant Willie winning happen at a Cowboys facility. Ha ha ha. Yeah, well. Maybe we were drunk. And she's awesome. So here's a little Lainey Wilson and Watermelon Moonshine. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Main Street Festival in Grapevine, Wildflower Festival in Richardson. Holy cow, get out, enjoy some music, some chow. Just have a fantastic time. Watch those Stars win tonight against the Avalanche, 9 o'clock TNT. Watch the Mavs win and finish up their season against Oklahoma City at home at the AAC. That's 7 o'clock on Saturday. And let's have all these things happen. And whatever happens, we will gather together. Lots of graduations. Congratulations, Molly. And everybody else getting a cap and a gown on and a diploma handed to them this fine weekend. So blessings all around. God bless our country, our troops, our families. Mike Gallagher is next. See you Monday. We'll talk about stuff that happened over the weekend. It's always a joy and a blessing to be with you. Mark Davis on 660 AM, The Answer. Be good.